Are our chances of survival better, or are they worse than in August 1941? How is it for Commonwealth of Nations? Are we up or down? What has happened to the principles of freedom for which we are fighting? Are they making headway, or are they in greater peril? Let us put the good and bad side by side, and let us try to see exactly where we are. The first and greatest of events is that the United States is now unitedly and wholeheartedly in the war with us. The other day, again, to see President Roosevelt. This time we met, but as comrades standing side by side and shoulder to shoulder in a battle for dear life and dearer honor in the common cause and against the common foe. When I survey and compute the power of the United States and its vast resources, and feel that they are now in it with us, with the British Commonwealth of Nations, all together, however long it lasts, till death or victory, I cannot believe there is any other fact in the whole world which can compare with that. That is what I have dreamed of, aimed at, and worked for, comes past. But there is another fact, in some ways more immediately effective. The Russian armies have not been defeated. They have not been torn to pieces. The Russian peoples have not been conquered or destroyed. Leningrad and Moscow have not been taken. The Russian armies are in the field. They are not holding the line of the Urals or the line of the Volga. They are advancing victoriously, driving the foul invader from that native soil they have guarded so bravely and loved so well. More than that, for the first time, they have broken the Hitler legend. Instead of the easy victories and abundant booty which he and his hordes had gathered in the West, he found in Russia, so far, only disaster, failure, the shame of unspeakable crime, the slaughter or loss of vast numbers of German soldiers, and the icy wind that blows across the Russian snow. Here, then, are two tremendous fundamental facts which will, in the end, dominate and make victory possible in a form never possible before. But there is another heavy and terrible side to the account, and this must be set in the balance against these inestimable gains. Japan has plunged into the war and is ravaging the beautiful, fertile, prosperous, and densely populated land of the Far East. It would never have been in the power of Great Britain while fighting Germany and Italy. These nations, long hardened and prepared for war, while fighting in the North Sea, in the Mediterranean and the Atlantic, it would never have been in our power to defend the Pacific and the Far East single-handed against the onslaught of Japan. We have only just been able to keep our heads above water at home, only by a narrow margin have we brought in the food and the supplies, only by so little have we held our own in the Nile Valley and the Middle East. The Mediterranean is closed, and all our transport costs go round the Cape of Good Hope, each ship making only two voyages in the year. Not a ship, not an airplane, not a tank, not an anti-tank gun, or an anti-aircraft gun has stood idle. Everything we have has been deployed, either against the enemy or awaiting his attack. We are struggling hard in the Libyan desert, where perhaps another serious battle will soon be fought.
You have just been listening to Prime Minister Winston Churchill.